Hi guys, you are now listening to the Creative Wholeness Podcast.
Welcome to the Creative Wholeness Podcast.
Welcome to the Creative Wholeness Podcast.
Welcome to the Creative Wholeness Podcast.
Hi guys, welcome to the Creative Wholeness Podcast. I know this voice is not familiar to you guys, it's fair. And I'm actually supposed to be the guest on the show tonight. I'll just pass the mic to Tolu right now.
Thank you, Fair, for handling the intro. Anyway, guys, as I've heard, we have a special guest. His name is Ife. He's a very talented artist, and I learned a lot of how to draw from him. And the title of today's episode is AI Art. We're going to be talking about a brief history of AI art. Don't worry, it's not boring. It's a very short history. The effect AI art is having on modern artists, modern art. Is it helping? Is it not helping? Is AI art something that we can do but we shouldn't do, or we shouldn't delve too much in? We're going to be addressing all those points all through the episode, so stick till the end of the episode. And if you love the episode, tell me what you think, rate it, share it to your friends, your family, your loved ones, your person you're doing pajama matching, whatever relationship things they are doing now with, and just have a good time with the episode. What exactly is AI art? What do we know as AI art? What do you feel AI art is, Ife?
AI art is whatever form of art made by artificial intelligence.
Okay,
it's from artificial intelligence. Not human, or not direct,
not human. Natural,
yeah,
not, oh yeah, okay. So Wikipedia says artificial intelligent art is any individual artwork created through the use of artificial intelligence, AI programs, and all that boring stuff. But like Ife said, it's any art that's not made by humans. I mean, you could argue that, oh, it's an offshoot of humans because humans created the programs, but that's just stretching it and a very nonsensical argument, in my opinion. But that's my opinion. AI art began towards the mid-late centuries, 20th century. People starting with the advent of AI programs itself before it entered into artificial intelligence. AI art has come a long way since the mid to late 20th century, from things like Aaron learning or creating AI programs that could draw and eventually paint or write poetry or write books even. And now I'm sure everyone can see, because even now people are using AI art for their like portraits or
social media
profile pictures. I mean, now most people can see, oh, this is probably AI art. But like, imagine what will happen in like even 10 years, 20 years. You probably won't be able to.
That's what I stretch. In like 5 years, it's probably difficult to tell the difference.
Exactly. So you start thinking, what's even the use of photographers? What's the use of poets? What's the use of artists when you can have AI art do almost anything? Which, to me as an artist, is very alarming. I don't know about you, Ife, but like, it's very alarming. What do you think about that?
Okay, so when you told me about this topic, I was kind of glad, because I feel like there are two sides to it, and I'm on this. I'm speaking from an artist's perspective, so I'm on the other side. And I feel like anyone who is an artist or as a thing for the beautiful, what do I call this, practice of art, expression of art. I would say everyone that has that persuasion would agree with me that AI art is not really a threat to pure art, because everything about art stems from emotions. Like, it is you expressing emotions. So I've had AI tries, I don't think that emotional
feeling
yeah, and that's channel. It might bring out a perfect picture or write a perfect story, but there's just this human emotional connection that has to be in the details or in the expression of the heart that still be left blank. And so I see, which I don't think is possible, but I see an expression of art made by an AI program that actually is that deep. Do you understand? Then I'll say, okay, yeah, I'm bothered. So I feel like for people who use it on like social, because it's trending these days on social, when I didn't realize that some actually look like great pictures. When I didn't realize it was a trend, I was like, why is as in I didn't understand, because you see a picture, I wouldn't do it, but I just feel like those people, it's not bad, it's not a bad thing.
It's not bad.
In fact, it gives a perfect picture, like I said. Like, those people don't necessarily care too much about, like the deeper things in terms of art. Expression. Like, how is this? Like, they don't think about it too much. They probably.
Oh, it's just a picture.
Yeah, it's just a picture. Do you understand? It's just a picture. They just want it to be nice. Yeah.
Okay. So, in relation to what Ife just said about the emotional connection in AI art being absent, it also leads to one of the, I feel, advantages or one of the things human art has over AI art is the ability to be creative. And me being in the middle, in the sense that I study computer science, so I have like a background knowledge of AI, and then I'm an artist. I know how AI art kind of works, especially with deep learning, in the sense that it just gathers, let's say, just goes around the internet gathering different artists' arts and comes up with its own art in quotation mark that seems visually pleasing. Understand? So, like, if right now, God knows where AI is going forward from now. But like right now, if you give an artificial intelligence without any data set, without anything to create something from scratch, to like think outside of the box, like how humans do or how artists do, they can't do that yet because they're just working based on data sets, based on other people's work. Yeah, so like, that is like one nil for the artist, and like, oh yeah, we have, so have a point.
I kind of have like a question for you. So what I got from what you just said now is that AI can't necessarily create abstract art. For example, when I mean abstract art, is like no, like just create shit from scratch. I don't know if I can call it, but like create stuff from scratch. Like AI can't do that. Like they have to have a particular set of database to work with first. That is what programming is, isn't it?
Yeah.
They are not humans. They've not learned. In fact, that is their own learning process.
That is the word.
They've not learned anything. So they
get trained.
Yeah.
So it is, they get trained before they can now, create something that's, new. But in reality, it just has different pieces or different thing, but technically it's new to, but like right now they have to be trained. Like you can't just create an artificial intelligence and tell it to do this without training it through machine learning on what to do, how to do it, and what is correct. So like you train it, you grade the accuracy, or okay, this is how, this one is this one is good, or this one is pleasing, this one is not pleasing, this is a morally correct art, this one is that you'll be painting out of it like glory and all that. Well, yeah. That's basically how AI art is. Yeah, so right now humans still have that creative upper hand,
independent.
Yeah, but the advent of the training of the AI now brings another issue that is like copyright issue, if I can place it that way, because now lots of like artificial intelligence, especially in the visual arts category, in fact not with visual arts, like music and all that, for them to produce a work, they train, and they scrape the web, like web scraping, they scour the web for different art pieces and all that in order to have sufficient data. And when I mean sufficient, it can be like millions of or billions of this train, like data set, to produce a good enough, like something that could rival human art. But then the artist who has like a piece or 100 pieces within that data set, did they give their consent for their art to be used in the training? Is it infringing on copyright laws? Even ourselves, what are the copyright laws in AI arts? Like, I was reading recently, who exactly owns an AI art? Is it the AI? Is it the user that gave the prompt? Or is it the manufacturer of the AI? So, like, that actually got me thinking that, and whatever, there are different ways to look at it. The ways to look at it, oh, it's the user, oh, it's the creator. But, like, really, I feel, to me, it's wild to give ownership to the AI itself, that, oh, okay, this is an art piece made by this. And even this copyright stuff, yeah, there are some pieces that they claim still has, like, no artists that draw and leave their signature on, yeah, are pieces that still have parts of an artist's signature on the AI piece. Like, if it's me, if I'm the artist that they use my piece, I'll probably be pissed. And some people even try to sue, but, like, no legal process and how useless it can be. So what do you think about that?
Okay, so I don't particularly think AI art, I don't know, I might be wrong, but I don't think AI art can be used to make money, first of all, as personal art. Because you having someone's signature, part of someone's signature on your, has already, that makes it invaluable to sell. You can't sell. You can't make anything from it because that's plagiarism, to be honest. That's copyright premium to the core. And and it's just weird to give the ownership to the
AI itself.
Because it's not a living entity, not human.
I found that thing nicer.
You can't give the prompt either because, I mean, you didn't make it.
You just fed you one little thing.
To be honest, in terms of like the whole thing, copyright and ownership, I think it shouldn't be taken seriously, to be honest. I think AI art shouldn't be taken seriously because that's the only way it would work. Because if you start to take it seriously and then you start to see people release AI made songs or people start to auction AI made arts and stuff like that, there will be too many infringements.
Well, they already do that.
They already do that.
Auction AI made pictures.
Really?
I mean, some AI made works have won prizes.
Okay.
That's gone deeper than you realize, right?
Come on. No.
It's crazy. It's crazy, but it's true. Like, I've not even gotten to this aspect of the AI. Because, like, deepfakes, making people who never did something now look like they did. Like, there's a picture of Pope Francis on this, you know, this UK thick-ass sweater, like white, silver.
No, those buffer jackets.
Yeah, buffer jackets. There's a picture of Pope Francis on them, but, like, white, his usual white colors and everything. But, like, he never had those pictures. Yeah, he never did that. And my final year, we even had this, let's say, practical, where we had to, like, we went online to search deepfakes or different things. We saw deepfakes of Queen Elizabeth's, rest in peace, I guess. Like, we saw deepfakes of her doing things that Queen Elizabeth would never do. I think we saw one of Trump. And even the other aspect of it used in, like, a creative way, Kendrick Lamar's music video, The Heart Part 5, where he used deepfake for Kanye,
call them
all that. So, like, that is an artist using AI as a tool to be even more creative. But then it could also be used in an evil way, like framing someone to, or this thing that's happening on, like, social media now, or has been happening for a few years, cancel culture. It's like it basically amplifies the effects of cancel culture, because now if someone is accused of something, he's not yet guilty, but you know how people just jump into conclusions without having the full facts, you know, the effects of fake news. But then if someone now uses a deep fake to like, oh, drops up like a scenario or something, and other people might just jump on that trend that, oh, I saw him do this in this video, and the video might not be real, but then the hits might now just like amplify everything and even mess with the person's psyche. I understand. I'm just looking at the adverse effects. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a good side that, oh, it can be used in creative ways as a tool. But then there is the other side in which it just affects us as human beings and our peace and mental health. Yeah, that's what mental health.
To be honest, I've never been a fan of, I think I might be old fashioned to some extent, because I've never really been a fan of, you know, AI, because to be honest, I feel like some things have to, like, you just need that genuine feeling, that
human touch.
Exactly, that's the word. And to be honest, I feel like AI is a good thing in terms of, it of course makes life easier for everyone who uses it, to be honest, because instead of paying a photographer to, you know, take your pictures, that's you having to go and find the photographer. You can easily, you know, just put it in and the AI will do it for you, generate a picture almost instantly, you're good to go. But there's the other part of it, like you're taking, that would have been good income for a photographer, that would have been a good expression of his art for a photographer. But at the same time, I look at it from the, maybe that's just my own bias from being an artist. So I'm sentimental to the plight of the artist, and I always look at it from that end. Well, to be honest, AI is not so bad, but I will never support it. That's just the truth. Because I feel eventually, like, pros and cons, however slightly or large the margin might be, the cons tend to outweigh the pros.
I mean, a lot of, like, AI is actually taking a lot of artists out of business. Like how normally business would hire an artist to like come up with their banner, their logos for example. And especially back then, it was a major source of income for artists. Like, artists were getting paid a lot because it's a brand. It carries the identity of the company, which means a lot, because look at Coca-Cola now. Even if they use the font of Coca-Cola to write another thing, when you see it, you just think of, oh, Coca-Cola. So like, that carries carry the identity of the brand. But now, the advent of AI and a lot of businesses even looking towards that, I feel it still won't carry that human touch, like you said, an artist would, because the artist looks at a lot of different things, considers a lot and thinks about the brand, like what identity the brand wants to carry before creating that art. But right now, how AI art is, you just, type in a prompt, and it's a fine logo, but doesn't really convey what the brand is. It's just one example.
I just thought of something in terms of like actually working for someone as an artist. Say you're making a movie or you're making a logo, like you said, or you're making a music video, you know, there's this feedback loop. I don't think you can have that feedback loop with AI, where like, this is what I want, no, just change this little detail, just that little detail. Those kind of intricacies can't be there with AI. Do you understand?
Yeah, I get. I've actually tried, I can't remember the name of the AI, but like a friend of mine sent a link to me, because I've been working on writing a novel, but like laziness always gets the best of me. So I said, okay, let me try this AI and see how my novel will kind of look from the AI's perspective. And it had a lot of like restrictions and all that. It had restrictions, the number of chapters it could come up with, because it wasn't like a major corporation's AI. So I think it was open source. I mean, just like different people contributing to helping the AI grow. So I put in the prompt and everything, and I was reading, I was reading the product, like the product of what I put in, the prompt I put in, the AI's result. And I was just like, nah, this is not what, this is certainly not what was in my head. This is
not my vision.
No, it seems just like scrambled everything. And to be honest, I was partly disgusted because like, I'm messing up with what I had in my head, man. Stop, nah. It's like it manipulated my prompt to something else that I was just not satisfied with. And I know right now that AI would look like drastically different, and there are ones way better than that right now that can bring up like a realistic book. Even our everyday use, like Samsung phones now and some apps, you can just put like a long text and it will summarize it into bullet points. And the other way, you can put bullet points and it's like bring out a whole note of things. Now, those things are really convenient, but like I feel that personally, there are some things that are best left unexplored. Or not. I know as scientists, we want to explore everything we can, but like there are some things that once you see that, okay, I think it's best we stop here. Yeah, that's the thing.
That's my take on AI. And not just AI, a lot of technology these days. I'm like, we should know when to say when.
Well, but, we have no restraints, man.
It's at table, so we'll just keep on going. That's just the truth. And we who are saying, I can't blame anyone, to be honest, for, you know, pushing for that. Well, I know, like, you know, when to say when, but you just can't help with that.
We're nearing dangerous waters. I mean, even like World War II era, the advent of nuclear bombs, man, changed everything. Brought the quote and unquote peace, or a peace where everyone is uneasy. Any small slip up and the world might be gone, man.
That was just like a glimpse. Fuck, we need to do it. SG.
After they dropped two songs, because, man,
we do this.
We need go to down this road,
probably not do 1 year before everyone goes kaput.
In my secondary school days, my middle school, high school days, one of my favorite quotes was like, the next world war, I think it was by Einstein, the next world war will be fought with sticks and stones. Like after World War III, nuclear bombs and everything, the World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
Like,
that is if anyone is even alive to right? fight with the sticks and stones, man. But like, we just have to be careful. And
where we go, it's, you know,
our technology.
You know,
advancement, civilization. It's crazy.
I mean, because to me, there are like a lot of directions you can go that are still pretty vague to us, you know, than, you know, the direction that we are particularly.
I feel we could channel this AI to more productive things, but like that might also be my bias because.
Yeah, like that's why I say I can't particularly blame anyone because, you know, we are all different. We have different interests and stuff.
Even right now, so like, say thinking of, I don't think this is not AI, but like now there are genetically engineered foods trying to create.
Those are scary, man.
Scary. I can see their point of view that okay, maybe this might alleviate starving, but we also don't know what we are altering with ourselves because. We are trying to play God. I'm religious. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know. I don't care about anyone's criticism. I believe in God. But like
freedom of association.
Like even apart from believing in God self, like even for like atheists out there, you're messing with nature.
To me, otherwise, I don't even think that's such a good idea. You know, when you're like, I don't think this is such a good idea. It does. I don't know. Even if you, yeah. I don't think we should be, you know, just altering with shit we eat like that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the right thing to do.
I even just remembered one of the possible consequences on things like that. If genetically altered plants and all that, you know, like how the bees pollinate our plants.
Yeah.
So one big cycle of nature. It's like if you're already genetically altering plants, which will affect the bees, because it's also, I think, their means of reproduction or something like that. So they too can't, like, their whole cycle has been altered. And from various movies, I've seen how crucial bees, as little as they are important to our whole ecosystem. So now, if we have disrupted the plants, we have disrupted the bees, we are basically disrupting our whole ecosystem.
I feel like this, our ecosystem is, I feel like that altering the genetics, you know, would in turn alter our own genetics.
Yeah,
and exactly. I feel like we are just, you know, evolution is one thing, but this is like chemically altering our, it's almost like giving ourselves mutation.
Hopefully we'll be fine.
But
you know, if I will fear more for our kids, yeah, our grandkids and all that.
Those guys a lot. I'm like, what kind of life are these guys going to live? Because I already feel like, say 30 years from now, 40, 50 years from now, I'll be scared. So I'm kind of wondering what they would kind of what they'll be living in. But maybe, you know, maybe we're actually being pessimistic and
maybe
all turn out well and to our benefit. But to be honest, I doubt.
Let's see how it goes. For now, I feel AI art is not there yet. And
I don't think AI art is there yet, and I don't think AI art is the future.
It might be
the future, but I don't know. I don't want it to be. I don't think it is right.
I feel for other areas, I might be more comfortable with, okay, AI. Yeah, it's driving me anywhere. It's actually weird. Like, we might be creating what to put every human out of business, and we're not helping matters.
We just can't see that far ahead. To be honest, I feel like there are some things you should still do, to be honest with you. And in terms of AI application, it wasn't so long ago that I was an undergrad, and I mean, I'm sure in that moment I would have loved to use AI to do my schoolwork. But to be honest, I mean, it's not up to 5 years. Thinking back on it, I'm like,
yes, it's not up to five.
I don't even think that's right. Like, that AI should be. To be honest, I actually struggled to find a proper, justification for use of AI.
Yeah. Me? 1 year difference from when I finished from the university, like from my set, the next set, they had to decrease the plagiarism percentage and also bring in that AI test ish. Because like that's just 1 year difference. 1 year. During my time there was a little bit of, oh, let's use AI, this the Quillbot or something like that. But I tried that thing. That thing was barely as intelligent. It helps me a little bit. Just, oh, okay, fascinating. But I could barely use it. But a year after, it was all the rage. I'm like, wow, crazy. Even right now, AI is helping fine-tune program codes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's me going too deep in the computer aspect. Whether AI can change its own code, which is not possible, at least right now, and should never be. Actually, it should never be.
That would be a problem. I mean, we are just going to terminate all level shit if we try to do that.
But I feel the whole fear of, oh, AI, like the robots are coming, AI turning evil, is kind of the least of our problems, because it's destroying our own selves as far economy, not like violently, not like action movie kind of thing, but like just on other levels. To me, is more scary than AI carrying gun and shit.
I really don't think that's how it's planned to ever plan. It's probably be like shutting down economies.
I'm saying, I feel.
Or just power grids.
So yeah, I feel personally, if AI was to actually take over the world, they will not do it violently. To be silent, to be through more frightening ways, more cunning ways than what we're seeing. Like, they'll find a way to systematically starve large sets of humans. Anyway, that's going into darker aspects of this episode, I think.
Digressing, yeah.
I think I've tried for today. I feel I'll do another AI episode sometime, maybe next season. Anyway, I'm glad I got the opportunity to have you on today's episode, Ife.
It's my pleasure. I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's link up on another episode. Make sure you like, rate the episode if you enjoyed it. Share it to your friends, your family, your loved ones. Listen to it again and again and again. Send a message, follow on Instagram, anything. Just see you later on the next episode of the Creative Homeless Podcast.